Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Friends, welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid conversations about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage. For those of you who don't know me or are tuning in for the first time, I'm a licensed professional counselor and author specializing in relationship issues. I also run the relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you've tuned into the podcast before, you know it's a hotline style show, meaning people call in or write in with their relationship questions, and I answer them on this show in short, practical, bite-sized answers. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it via email or voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or check out my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love and relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's good to be with you again, joining us for part two of how to protect your marriage. And today we're talking about the second thing that John and I are very deliberate about doing and protecting our relationship, and that's protecting our interactions. It's so important to be deliberate with the choices that we're making concerning the world around us. Like, we're talking about external things, from our emails to our body language. What we're doing with our interactions is something we've got to be aware of, and it's important for us to honor our spouses in everything we do, in every way that we interact. Before we get into this topic, I read a story, a really troubling story, actually, about a pastor of a mega church who ended up having an affair. And when he was processing this a little bit later, after all of this stuff happened, he was kind of processing this experience. And he said that one day after church, he had gone out to the parking lot with a bunch of people from church, and he was showing off his motorcycle and, you know, zooming around the parking lot. And this attractive young woman came and asked if she could have a ride. And he decided, you know what? There's people around here, no big deal. She hopped on the back of his motorcycle, put her arms around him, and he took her for a couple quick loops around the parking lot. And interestingly enough, years later, he ended up having an affair with this woman and losing his entire ministry, his entire marriage. He just lost so much. And when they were processing this with him afterwards in the media, they asked him, like, when did you know? You know, when was the moment that you fell into temptation? And he said, the moment she touched me, like the moment she hopped on that bike, put her arms around him, something inside of him was feeling empty. Something inside of him was not healthy and not at a good place. And the moment she touched him, he fell into temptation and he struggled. And so all of that goes to show you the importance of boundaries. There's going to be a time in your relationship that you are on E, that you are not feeling good, that you are not emotionally healthy, that things are not 100% in your relationship. And those are the times when boundaries are most protective. A lot of times we put boundaries into place after something bad happens, but boundaries need to be established long before something happens, because we know that we're sinful. We know that we're weak. We know that we're humans. And, you know, we do dumb stuff sometimes. And so we've got to have these boundaries in place. as a way to protect our marriage so that we, when we are feeling weak, when we are struggling, we're protected. We've got those safeguards in place that we don't have to worry about our heart going down the wrong path. Affairs don't happen in a blink of an eye. They take time, they take energy, they take lack of boundary after lack of boundary after lack of boundary. And so this is why it's so important to be aware of our interactions. Today, John is joining me again on the podcast, and we're going to continue our conversation from last week, talking a little bit about some of the things that we do to protect our interactions.
Yeah, and when I hear that, every time I hear that story, it just breaks my heart, because just like I've heard you say before, you know, no one wakes up and says, I want to get a divorce today. Right. It starts with little decisions, little changes. It can take years, it can take weeks, it can take months, but those little changes change who you are and change the dynamic in your relationship. And that's why it's so key to start, you know, protecting it from the start.
Yeah. And I will say, before we get into the details of what John and I do, these are the things that have worked for us. Mm-hmm. These are not things that I think every single one of you out there need to do. These are things that we have found work to protect our marriage, to build that fence, that safeguard, that circle around our relationship. And so if you listen to some of this stuff and you're like, yeah, I like that idea, then take it, run with it. But the important thing is that you sit down with your partner, with your spouse, and talk through these boundaries and what it looks like for you to protect your interactions.
And if you don't like it, you're probably wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So some things we do. So basic thing we do is whenever we're in emails, text, social media with someone of the opposite sex, we just loop each other into it.
Yeah.
So just like we said before, problems usually don't start from major things, but smaller things that are viewed innocently. So if I, you know, get an email from someone, I'll say, hey, hon, just so you know, I got an email from so-and-so, if you want to peek at it, or I'll BCC her into something if I'm emailing someone. I mean, there's also some practicality. So if like you're an accountant and you're emailing like an Excel spreadsheet to someone at work who happens to be of the opposite sex, I don't think you have to include your spouse in that. What we're talking about is communication, times when people are connecting.
Especially personal, friendship.
Personal things, you know. Exactly.
Like I'm not looping John into my counseling clients, but
we're talking
more personal relationships, friendships, interactions.
Exactly. Where you're trying to connect and get to know someone or interact with someone. And the same way with text messaging. You know, a lot of people innocently connect with people on text message.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, people are going a whole new level through those text messages, connecting in ways they never intended, but it all started from text messaging.
Right.
You know?
Right. So essentially there's not one text or email from someone of the opposite sex of a personal nature that John doesn't know about in my inbox or in my phone and vice versa.
Exactly. And social media, I personally have no social media. So
it's not his thing.
It's not my thing, but.
Which is good because I social media enough for the both of us.
Exactly. So if you want to connect with me, follow Deb on Instagram. You might catch me on the Instagram feed. But yes. And I mean, to be honest, you know, we'll get to later. Later is partly why I don't have any social media also. But that's one thing we do along those lines, you know, taking it to the next level. We choose not to spend time alone with someone of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And to some people, this seems crazy. Just putting it out there. They think like,
some people do. I've definitely gotten people think like, that's kind of extreme. Isn't that legalistic?
Yeah. Or someone's like, yeah, before I got married to my husband, my best friend was this guy. And then I got married, but I still want to keep that friendship. I don't know. Things change when you get married, and it's important to think these things out. So, you know, when she's talking about these, you know, all over the news, I mean, if you just Google pastors, affairs, mega churches, like it's nonstop. We hear about someone who God gave a prominent voice in ministry and it crumbles because of sin, you know, like ultimately crumbles. One person, if you think back in, you know, recent times, whose ministry was probably the far reaching of anyone in recent Christianity is Billy Graham.
Yeah.
And he kept himself to the utmost level. Like, he was above reproach. No one ever questioned him. There was no scandals, affairs. And part of that was, you know, when he was early in his ministry, he met with some of his friends, they made a pact, and basically said they would never spend time alone with a woman. There would always be someone else in the room. They're not going to be in hotel rooms with women. I mean, that's where all this craziness happens, is people put themselves in environments they didn't intend, in situations they maybe didn't think out, and then people make poor decisions. But if you don't put yourself in those situations to begin with, you can't even make the other situation. So practically, you know, like, I wouldn't go out for lunch with a woman from work, you know?
Right.
And I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. You know, it's not like I'm sacrificing. I'd much rather go out to lunch with my wife. And if there's times when we want to connect with someone, we'll go out as couples, you know, like, there's no need for us to be one-on-one with someone. And it just, you know, and we have some good friends at Saddleback Church. Shout out to Chris and Tina, who are an amazing couple out there. But that's actually their church policy, that you're not alone with someone of the opposite sex for work, for pleasure, for anything, because that way you're not putting yourself into situations where you might eventually lead to choices that you regret. Do I think because you go out to lunch with someone of the opposite sex, you're going to have an affair? No.
Right. Of course. That's not what we're saying.
That's not what we're saying, but we're saying it has to start somewhere. And if I'm going to choose to invest in a lunchtime, I'll go out with my wife.
Yeah. Because these are valuable assets. This is a commodity. You know, your interactions are a commodity that you have, and you've only got so much emotional energy, social energy to invest in someone. So who are you investing those interactions in? And are they people that matter and people that you want to connect with? I think that's a really important thing to remember. Again, not being legalistic about it, but just being wise and having that wisdom and being able to loop your spouse into everything so that there's nothing that takes them by surprise, you know? They're in the know with everything that's going on and everyone you're interacting with. And this isn't about control, but this is about being responsible. And the more responsibility you have in a relationship, the more you feel free, you know, like, you feel free to share things with your spouse. You feel free to do things because you don't feel like you're hiding things. And I feel like it's just a really freeing place to be in a relationship. So personally, that's one thing we do when it comes to personal interactions. Another thing that we do is with our online interactions. We share all our passwords with one another, all our account information with each other. Our internet history is an open book. Like, John sees my internet history. I see his internet history. If we want to, we can go look at it anytime. We don't delete our internet history without talking to the other person about it. It's just a safeguard that we have there, you know, with the world of pornography and all kinds of, like, craziness that it's easy to get wrapped up in. So we're transparent with that kind of thing, right, hon?
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny because it has nothing to do with control and 100% to be transparency and free. Like, I know that, like, the computer I'm on, my internet history is 4 years old, has never been deleted. And my wife, I can openly say, can go look. And I have never looked at a porn site, never anything that I would be embarrassed that she would see on there. And that freedom just opens up our connection even deeper. And there's so much junk online.
Right.
Part of what I was even saying earlier, part of the reason I'm not on social media, there's just junk. Like, I don't want to be on Facebook seeing random things or Instagram or Twitter. More power to you if you're on it and using it for good. But I just found that I was just seeing junk everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I don't really need this in my life. And just for me personally, it's a decision I made not to really be on social media, and I don't regret it. And it works great for me, and you can social media for the two of us.
Yeah, I will. but it's true. We live in such a sexualized world
that,
you know, we've got to be aware of this stuff. We can't be in denial about it. And I think it's important to be able to be at a place with your spouse that you can talk through some of this stuff, you know? Otherwise, this stuff can easily creep into your life, take control of you. If you're not comfortable having these conversations about your interactions and what you're doing with yourself online or with people face-to-face, like, if you're not comfortable going there with your spouse, issues are going to come. Issues are going to happen eventually. So our online interactions, our face-to-face interactions, and then we also would add that we've got transparency with our interactions that include our transactions.
Financially, yeah. For sure. Well, I think, the whole goal, everything we're doing is that we're transparent. So there are no surprises. So whether it comes to emails, who we met for lunch, how much we spent on the way home, like there's no, so for us, what we've decided is any big purchases, we always discuss and we never rush into them.
Right.
Like it's just, there's no deal good enough that I'm not telling my wife to buy it. Like there is
He's
nothing.
A deal finder.
I am a deal shark.
He should have a blog just about deals. Like I'll blog about relationships. Yeah. You can blog about deals.
I would love that. So for us, anything, what we've decided for us is if we're spending over $100, I need Deb's okay. And she needs my okay to do it. Yeah. So we're just not spending $100 without, letting the other person know. And it's not like, we're not like crazy legal. Like, it's not like I'm going to spend $90 in one transaction and do 20.
I'm spending $99.99 at the store.
Exactly. But it's just more the idea that, we're inviting each other because A, stuff doesn't make you happy. And B, we don't want stuff to cause any division between us.
Right.
So we just keep it at that. And it's worked great for years. And, we've had times where we've lived on less than $10,000 a year in very limited resources where going out to eat was like an insane pleasure. And we've had times where we've been feeling very blessed financially. And it's never changed for us. We still discuss. We still make all our decisions together.
Yeah. And for those of you out there who are struggling with that, we talk a lot about the importance of getting accountability and education. Financial Peace is a really great program to help you get on track with your finances and get on the same page with that. But the whole point of this conversation is that you aim to live your life in a transparent way. Like, this is about transparency and an invitation. This is an invitation to let your spouse into every part of your life. And there's something really beautiful about being known in that deep, deep way, fully known and fully loved. It's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful interaction. And honestly, trust is only earned with true vulnerability. You can't have trust when there isn't that invitation to let somebody in, when you're not being invited into your spouse's life. You can't just build trust without vulnerability. And the level of deep trust that you get from guarding your relationship, from protecting your marriage, from setting those boundaries, the level of trust always outweighs the sacrifices. Like what you're losing, which is like these petty little things. Oh, I'm not going to spend $100 without talking to my spouse. What you're losing is nothing compared to what you're gaining. Authenticity, intimacy, and just a deeper level of trust than you've ever had before. So protecting your marriage is just so, so beneficial in so many ways. So we talked about part one last week, which is protecting our emotions. Today, we talked about protecting our interactions. And next week, join us on the Love and Relationships podcast to talk through part three of protecting your marriage from the three intruders.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. It was so fun to chat with you about love and relationships. No matter what your relationship status, if you're looking to go deeper with healthy relationships, I invite you to check out my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, or my brand new book, Love in Every Season. You can find out more information about those, as well as hundreds of articles and in-depth courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com. I love connecting with you. So please find me on Facebook or Instagram at True Love Dates and give me a shout out. If you have a love and relationship question on your mind, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love and relationships. If you're loving what you're hearing on this show, be sure to subscribe and leave us your 5-star review because it makes all the difference in getting the word out. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being together again today, and I can't wait to chat with you next week. Take care.